Nuggets. We are post-draft. We are mid-NBA playoffs. And that's what, yeah, that's right. We are just post Andrew Bottom's birthday. So, Bottom, you're here.
I'm here.
I'm
wearing salmon, and Julian's wearing salmon color. We're matching, guys. We're both matching.
We both love salmon so much. I love salmon so much, I moved back home to the Northwest, and you spent your birthday in the Northwest. You couldn't get enough.
I could not get enough, and I ate a lot of salmon, you know, so I feel like it's a big salmon trip.
If you didn't, it would have been, you know, not as good of a story. How was the B-Day? How was,
Julian, you don't want to ask this question.
I do, Don't pretend like I don't.
No, you're going to feel really bad because you don't know the answer to what I'm going to say.
What? You went to Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah. No, I texted you like every other day about NFL draft stuff, and you're like, no, or the pod, and you're like, no, I'm still with my family. I can't hang out yet.
Are you ready to feel bad really soon? Are you ready to feel really bad? Real bad?
Sure.
I spent my birthday at my grandma's funeral.
Which sound effect is that one? Oh, no. Wait, I got to do it again because I had it on mute. No, I got to turn the volume up. It doesn't work if I do it that way. I got to play it now. Here it is.
Why did you not tell me that for this show?
I didn't know you'd be asking me about my birthday today. Pre-chat before the pod, because usually it means that we don't get all of the fun stuff. But maybe now.
But
Maybe it's better to do the pre-chat.
I will say this so we don't end on a bad note. We celebrated her 100th birthday in December.
100?
She lived a very nice life and was healthy for the majority of it. So I would say she got to see everyone she wanted to see, you know, before she passed, and it was a good time with family.
So was she a forever Oregonian, or was she from somewhere else?
No, I flew into Oregon on a Friday, and then Sunday we got the news, and so we flew out to Indiana. We were in Indiana.
I was always going to say that I felt like Oregon people. I had a grandpa in Oregon, and I feel like, I mean, his skin was absolute leather. He spent so much time outside, but he was always just like cutting down trees and making his own moonshine and growing weed, not because he smoked it, but because he just liked to break the law. And that's just my impression of older people in Oregon. And I don't know how old he actually got to be, but I'm assuming it was 200. So, yeah, that's I have high respect for older people from Oregon. I'm sure Indiana, Oregon, potato, potato.
Potato, potato, for sure.
Well, that is...
that was a good intro, guys.
One way to kick this off. How do I transition that to Dame Lillard? Let me think about it. Tell me something else, Bob. Are you reaching? Is that your? Did you just turn your
my fire alarm? My smoke detector was going off. It was talking to me. It was saying, "Move on to the next segment."
That's the power of Teams. I didn't even hear it. That's a Microsoft commercial. This is one big long Microsoft commercial that no one ever pay for. You had your birthday. That's great. Got to see all your family and friends with no other discernible details of that story. What else is going on, Andrew Bottom?
NBA playoffs, as you well know, are in full effect. And as you all saw me predict, you know, would happen, Damian Lillard would win an NBA title and come back to the Blazers at the end of the season.
Nailed it.
I think I was off by a year. I think my meter, because here's the thing, is the Blazers need a little bit more time to draft to get, you know, the players that can help Dame win the title in Portland. So I think Giannis actually got injured on purpose to delay the title.
Because everyone needs more time.
Yeah.
I had to explain to Cal why the guy from Space Jam who has the watch that slows everything down was not playing basketball. I had to explain that, and it was complicated. It was complicated for so many reasons.
It was, the interesting thing is the, I think that was game four where they went to overtime, I want to say.
Yeah.
I forget, it was game four or game five. So I came in at the very end of the game and I was so confused because I was wondering why is Dame not getting the ball? And I didn't know he was injured. And I didn't know, I mean, obviously, who made the 2 3-pointers? I'm trying to remember his name. The guy on the Bucks. There was someone on the Bucks that
was
made
it Grayson
2 3-pointers.
Allen?
No.
I like Grayson Allen. I mean, I didn't like him before, but now I kind of, now that I didn't like him for so long, now I kind of like him.
I don't think it's a good. Yeah,
I don't think he's on the Bucks. Is he on the Bucks or is he on the Suns? I can't keep that.
Oh, Allen, like yeah, it's not on the Bucks. Oh, Middleton. Middleton made 2 3
Chris
backs.
Middleton. That's right. He had like 40 something points.
Yeah. So, anyways, I was confused why he got the last shot on the two last plays of regulation and of the OT.
Because that's Dame time. That's typically Dame time.
That's Dame time. And I was like, why is Dame not even close to the ball on either occasion? So, anyways.
I will say I run into the same thing because it'll be the end of the game and Cal will be like, so this is Dame time? And that puts a lot of pressure on me as someone who explained Dame time to a 7-year-old. And now he's like, oh, this is a rule. This is something that is always true and that Dame Lillard will always get the ball at the end of the game. And why isn't that happening, Dad? These are the rules. They're breaking the rules. No one's getting a foul. What's happening? And basketball and raising children is hard.
I'm glad to hear that he's a hardcore Blazer fan, though. I'm glad to hear
he
lost some Blazer jerseys.
He knows who the Blazers are. Is the thing is that he recognizes the name Dame Time from the movie Space Jam. Blazers is not included in that conversation. But once Scoot Henderson fulfills the prophecy, Bottom, don't worry, you're
Scoot.
Good to go. Well, that's.
I have a question for you about the NBA. I know it's not on your rundown, so you're going to get a little bit frazzled with this.
My rundown is shit. I got here 10 minutes ago, and then we ran into a funeral. So honestly, everything's out the door. Just fucking go wherever you want at this point.
So my question for you is, do you think it is the end of the Big Three era in the sense of big players making moves and being
the super team idea.
The
yeah.
super team. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the better way to put it. Because ever since Miami and Boston, I guess you could maybe say Durant going to the Warriors, but they already won a championship prior. But I feel like those moves have not been successful recently.
No.
And
more than that, they're a poison pill. I am now believing that any team that declares themselves a super team, or not a super team, that they have their big three, they're doomed. It's like, it doesn't work anymore. Like the minute the poster, and I didn't pay enough attention. I don't get locked up into it a lot. But now that I look back at like the advertisements that people did for the Phoenix Suns of like Durant and what's his face in the Washington and what's
Bradley Beal.
Yeah, Bradley Beal and whatever the six man guy, whatever, all their names, Booker. It's like, yeah. No shit. Those guys are absolutely screwed. Like, that's not a big three. Like, those are guys who are all individually paid a lot of money, but.
And you know what? Maybe this ties back a little bit to your as a Sonic curse, maybe, on the Thunder, is I feel like, now, Durant, granted, he went to Golden State, they already had won, but if you think about it since,
right,
Durant, Harden, and Westbrook have just kind of been poison pills for their teams.
No, but totally. And it's the thing is that it was, and it's the same conversation. They were all blessed to have three superstars at superstar positions. But the hard thing about the big three is that you need to have a diversity of positions. They all can't live on the three-point line. Chris Bosh was a three, like the third person. He is a post player. When have you seen another big three that has a post player in it? Kevin Durant does not play the post, okay? That guy does not body up down low to get rebounds. Like, that is the missing difference. If the next big three, I can't believe we're making hot takes on basketball. If the next big three, to me, involves Wembanyama, then you got something. Because you know what? There's a shit ton of guards. And there's a shit ton of wings.
Well,
but there aren't
one.
A shit ton of, like, or Jokic, I guess. Like, you know what? best thing that the Nuggets ever did was not post a picture of Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray and Jokic and be like, big three. But honestly, those are the positions you would want. And that's not even to say Aaron Gordon. Like, honestly, they just have a good starting five. That's so also a pretty cool idea, too. Just have five good starting players. But, yeah, I would say
it bodes well for the Blazers to build from the ground up, you know, like what the Thunder have done, what Minnesota's done, what New York has done.
Well,
my question for you.
Who's the center? Who's the big guy from Phoenix that they got?
DeAndre Ayton. The Blazers are cursed with centers, so we know he's going to get injured. So I can't really rely on a center. It's going to be Greg Oden's situation. We know that. But Julian's left the room.
I had to let dogs in. It's funny you put it that way. You say cursed with centers. I say you're due to have a good center. Because you've had a lot of bad luck with all these other centers. But like, this is the reclamation project with Ayton. And honestly, if you can make Ayton to a dude, because the guy's what, 23?
He's still young. Yeah.
He's so young. If you can make him one of your big three and you got Scoot, guess what? All you need is LeBron James. And then you're set. You know, just you're right there. But I'm not the one. I don't know shit about the Blazers. I don't want to be the one to talk about the Blazers. What I wanted to do is I wanted to find common ground post-draft, post-real shit season for the Blazers and talk. How do we feel good? Do we feel bad? How are we supposed to feel about the future? And are we just talking ourselves into something moving forward?
So the Blazers have four draft picks, two that are first rounders.
There we go. But it's a shit draft.
It's a shit draft.
Everyone says it's a shit draft. And it's a shit draft for superstars. Not so much role players. You can get role players.
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, here's the problem with this past year is I was reading an article and they were one of the teams with the most injury time. I mean, every team gets injuries, but as far as the most time where they had players with injuries. So I think it was hard to get a real gauge because you didn't really get to see all the young players playing for that full time. Sharp was out so much of the time. Scoot was out
a lot.
Why
was Sharp out? I feel like that guy constantly gets hurt. Is he a bust?
Yeah. Something with his hip, I think. I think he's going to be, if he stays healthy next year, I feel like he added a component to his game this year where he could actually shoot.
But take out the if he stays healthy part. Like, isn't that a really important part of whether you're a bust or not?
It's true. But I don't think he's going to be the superstar like Dame Lillard leading the team situation. Mm-hmm. But I think he could be a CJ McCollum, possibly, in a sense of a number two for the Blazers. But the Blazers are not going to make the playoffs next year. I think my viewpoint is Blazers in 3 years will be a team competing for a 4-6 spot. So in 3 years, we're going to come back to this podcast, Julian. You star it.
3 years? What? You think we're still doing this podcast in 3 years?
100%. How long have we done this podcast?
Starting to doubt that people even want this stuff. I can't believe how often we do it. I can't believe that I consistently am doing this. We get a solid 10 listens every time.
Julian, you know that you look forward to this every week. This is like your highlight.
That's the unhealthy part, Bottom. That's the part that I'm worried about. What am I recording these words for?
Like, if I don't get a podcast from you, like, I don't have to get a text from you. If I don't get a podcast from you, I know something's wrong. I need to call Emily and make sure you're okay.
You know, it's funny. I had a pod scheduled with Bottom, or not with Bottom, with Bliss. And we can't do it because Bliss is going through some stuff right now. And then I got a text, like, I don't know, the next day. Zach was like, how do you feel about the draft class? And I was like, wow, does everyone need to know these? Everyone really is expecting this input routinely. Everyone wants this scheduled input. I only have an audience of 9. 10 if you count Emily, 11 if you count Sam, who I think is probably filling in a lot of the blanks, because I don't think Stephanie listens anymore. But it's a powerful audience. It's powerful audience of 10 or 11.
Hey, if we can get some more international listeners, I'd be excited. But we had a spike.
I'm going to put this out here. Emily is in L.A. right now. She is in L.A. right now. Don't feel bad. She's working the whole time. She went and she saw Courtney Harvey, and I think that's all she had time for. She misses L.A. so much. She's like, we got to come down here. And we got to see everyone. I was like, I don't know. Maybe we could do like the... like the draft, we could do like the draft in LA, and her reaction was like, "Oh, I don't know, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, we do the draft in LA,
draft 2024.
God, it's everything we ever wanted. We could do a big paper board or something. Probably not. We never do that.
Are we running out of room at the Four Seasons? Where are we doing this?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, what bar are we? What Buffalo Wild Wings in Burbank are we taking over? You know what? I bet Lyle could get us his bar after hours. Yeah. You know, we got to get it in the hours that work for the East Coast. But you know, yes, you know, something like that. We got time to cook on this. We got time.
It was nice to watch the Wazoo game with the guys at Barney's Beanery. That brought back a lot of memories.
God, I got jealous just seeing. But that was the West Hollywood Barney's Beanery. You guys don't go to the Santa Monica one anymore.
Apparently, that was where we went. We went to Santa Monica.
That was the Santa Monica one.
Santa Monica.
Okay, good. Because I was looking, I was like, is that? I heard that when I went there, I was like, let's go to my old stomping grounds. And I was like, no, we don't go to the promenade anymore. It's different down there. It's dangerous. We don't go there anymore. Not since COVID. Not since the virus. I'm glad. Well, I'm glad that that's still a thing too, because that was my favorite of the Barneys. Although the West Hollywood one,
the Burbank Barneys was mine, because that's where I started in LA. It was my you were in Burbank.
I worked in Burbank. I never lived in Burbank, but okay, I mean that Burbank one out there, that was the Coug bar technically. Like, hey, come support our Cougs in Burbank, along with 15 other teams. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna do that. All right. Well, I had a bunch of like logistics I wanted to plan on this. Let's just like fuck numbers. Vegas. I mean, all right. So I've got. I don't have anything for. I wanted to have something for your beloved Blazers to see what the odds were of them winning the championship next year. But let's just say, without Vegas's help, it's low. You know, the Seahawks' odds are low too. They're really low. Like, we are not a preferred franchise as far as betting goes right now. So. That is common ground. I know you're also a Seahawks fan, but I'm going to take you, Blazers fan. I'm going to take me, Seahawks fan. We're going to coerce we're going to converge our situation of just like, where the fuck is all of this going? So you don't believe that you're going to go to the playoffs next year. Do you believe you're going to the playoffs next year with Scoot? I mean, does it feel like that's a thing?
I don't think so. I don't think they got a full good year to really, like, I think they're going to be a bottom team, like a bottom-ish team the next 2 years. And then I think the third year is going to click.
So Scoot will only be like 22 by then. That's the NBA.
Yeah. We'll be fine. I mean, most of our core is young, so.
Okay, so now let's take that mentality. Seahawks, are we going to the playoffs next year?
I think there's a decent chance we go to the playoffs. I mean, we don't know who our... No, we do know. Who's our coach? I remember our coaches.
It's McDonald. Mike McDonald.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a real big Harbaugh guy. Like, I mean, we kind of knew that, but the draft, Bottom, did you watch? You didn't watch the draft. Have you looked into the draft at all? Have you, like, researched it?
I just saw a lot of you guys' comments about the draft.
Have you seen a list of the players we got?
Oh, yeah. I saw that list.
Okay. There's a lot of players. You know. I'll summarize it for you. It's beef. It's just... Defensive tackles, offensive linemen, like bodies, the whole way down. Like, it's just the beef is what we got with a corner or two in there. But like, it is pure beef. So we are just strengthening the trenches. And like, that is on one hand what the Seahawks kind of needed, but also on the other hand, like, we might be like in some real Harbaugh territory. Like this guy might be like really buying into the pure Harbaugh-ness of it all. So how does that make you feel? You know what the Harbaughs are. That's the Ravens. That's the Niners of the days of old. Like, what are your vibes as far as like, is this, do you remember Jim Mora? Jim Mora yeah. getting fired after 1 year and then Pete Carroll came in. Like, we cannot rule out that Mike McDonald gets fired after 1 year. So I want you to look at next season as an important thing and not just stepping stone. And then tell me what
you think
it's going
to be. I could also see it go the opposite way. I could also see it be like, here's a change, and then I know where Seahawks are really good. You know? So I feel like compared to the Blazers, Seahawks have a much better chance to do well.
You think you're optimistic? You're optimistic.
Yeah. I'm a beeve and a coug. I have to always be optimistic. Okay.
I'm not looking for blind optimism, bottom. I'm looking for good. So you're optimistic, but tell me what about the Seahawks at this point with this defensive coach coming in? We got a really good defensive player in the first round. We got a good guard in the second round, and we got a bunch of, we don't know what they are pieces later on. So essentially we're going in next year with the same offense, but hopefully a better defense and a 35-year-old coach at the helm. Tell me, how are you optimistic?
I just think if we get a stronger defense, our offense wasn't great last year. But
our offense
was
good enough. It was top 15, but the defense is 28th in the league.
Yeah, so I feel positive that they will be competitive to get a playoff spot. I'm not going to guarantee one, but I think they'll be competitive in the race, like, flirting around a little, like around 500. The league won't be that great, and then they'll have to decide whether they're going to, push to win the division or not, or get a wild card. It'd be a wild card. They're not going to win the division.
Division. Let's talk division. The Niners are the Niners. They still have Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
They did lose some of their defensive pieces from last year. They tried to replace them. They kept all their offensive pieces. They're not stronger than they were last year, but they're not a lot weaker.
Yeah.
And this is really their last chance with the Brock Purdy discount to really cash in. So there's that. The Rams had a pretty good draft. If you consider Matt Stafford as a healthy guy, they're in better shape next year, except for the fact that they lost Aaron Donald, the greatest defensive player, in a really, really long time. Aaron Donald is one of those guys that, we had to hate. We hated him. But, like, now that he's gone, it's kind of, like, cool to just say, like,
yeah.
Aaron Donald was really cool. Aaron Donald was kind of the coolest. Like, I feel like I'm going to say, and when I'm an old person, like, well, he's no Aaron Donald. Like, I feel like that's what I'm going to say. I think it's going to be Miles Garrett, Aaron Donald, maybe Micah Parsons one day. Those are going to be the guys I grade all future pass rushers on top of, because those are the guys that I saw. And then the Cardinals just got, Marvin Harrison Jr., which you could say was probably arguably the best player in the draft, to support Kyler Murray, who wasn't healthy last year. So we have three other teams in our division who are now better than they were before. Take that. How are we feeling about the Seahawks?
I mean, I think San Francisco's unfortunately going to be the upper echelon, and I think the bottom three we're going to be fighting it out to see if one of us can get a wild card. I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think Arizona's going to – with Kyler healthy, obviously, it's going to help a lot, but I don't think they're going to be, like, winning the division. But I think they'll be more competitive than a 4-win team.
Well, you got to have 10 wins,
Yeah.
And your division teams are, 6 games or whatever. So you got to win those games. So, all right, now here we are. Let's look at our Super Bowl odds. Let's see where the Seahawks are falling. All right, San Francisco. There they are at the top. San Francisco, Super Bowl odds, +450. Well, that's pretty good. Let's keep on scrolling. Ravens. Chiefs, Bills, dude. Cowboys. This is recent, right? That was pretty recent. All right.
So where are we at?
We are +7,500.
We're at the same as the Cardinals.
We are just above the Steelers and Broncos. Great.
But same as Arizona.
Yeah. So we are as they would say, tied with Cardinals in these numbers. That's not great. That's not great. That is that means that we are okay. These might be even more recent. Scrolling. We're still there with the Cardinals. Depends on what book you go to. We beat the Cardinals, but we lose to everyone else. So like, we're in the bottom third. We are just above the Saints, Raiders, Vikings, Cardinals, Giants, Titans, Broncos, Commanders, Patriots, Panthers. So, I mean,
are the Raiders playing in their new Superdome this year?
In the Vegas place? Yeah, they've been playing there for a while.
Oh, shoot. They did play there last year. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I knew you were joking. But it's okay. So, just saying, Niners being Super Bowl favorites right now and us being tied with the Cardinals, like,
you're feeling hopeless right now, Julian. Stop it. I can feel the negativity seething from your bones.
I'm looking to you for reasons of optimism. I'm looking for you to tell me, Julian, it's going to be okay. Because I'm a Blazers fan and it could be worse.
One, exactly. Two, we got a new coach, a young coach. Going to try some unique stuff. I feel like there might be a lot of interesting sign calling this year. Maybe those boards like Oregon used to do back in the day, a bunch of symbols up, make it fun, you know?
Make it fun. I want you to know this. We have how much? All right, I'm not going to play that. How much do we have next year in cap? Because you're not going to be able to guess. But next year in cap, we have $3 million cap wise. We have $3 million next year. If we keep everybody on our roster, that's and then obviously there's going to be an increase, so it'll become more. But $3 million is not a lot. Gino, Uchenna, Lockett, you combine those guys next year, that's about $60 to $70 million in cap next year. If we don't win the first, if we're not 4-2, if we are not like a winning football team, there's a chance Schneider starts to cash out on a lot of those players and trading them to contenders. Like, we might become that team. How do you feel about the Seahawks possibly being a transition team next year?
I thought we were a transition team now.
Well, we were a transition team, but we're transitioning from Russell Wilson, but we should still be contending. Yeah. We should still be a good football team, but that's a good point. Are we a transition team or are we? Because it seems like we are fighting for relevancy. It seems like we're still trying to get in the playoffs.
Well, I think we are transitional in a sense that we dropped from the heights that we were at, and I think we just didn't drop to the very bottom, right? Like, we didn't do a complete rebuild.
Right.
Luckily, Gino was good enough, right, to make us still a solid team. But I think had he not done well, we could have been towards the bottom.
Had Drew Locke led us to one win, we'd have Caleb Williams right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I also don't know. I mean, do you think Gino would? Do you think he would be a big trading piece? I don't want this to be an anti-Gino thing.
I think
it's not an anti-Gino thing.
It's just like, do you ever look at the Saints and wonder what the fuck are they doing? Because they have a good team, but not a great team. So they will always be on the fringe of the playoffs. And they have committed themselves financially to remaining a good team, but not a great team. Because they don't have the flexibility to make moves to make themselves dramatically better. So then they're here. They are Derek Carr and they are Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and Marshawn Lattimore, and they're just all these same fucking guys as they've always been. Like, you could upload Madden 2023 and you'd think that it was the current roster. Like, that's who the Saints are. We are now looking at the Seahawks and we're starting to feel that way because who are our future superstars? And like, will the rookies take us? Will Charles Cross, Abram Lucas, Devin Witherspoon, will all these guys, these really good draft picks we just have the last 2 years, are they going to take us to the next level, or are they going to help us get to 9 wins? Because if they help us get to 9 wins, That's not good enough in our division. It's not. It's, I don't think it is. I don't think that's, I mean, I fucking hate the Rams. I don't, I mean, they could fall apart any minute in my mind. But still, you would, even if the Rams fell apart, you'd have to deal with the Niners and possibly the Cardinals. So, 10 wins. Bottom.
10 wins. All right. We're gonna count it down. I'm gonna have a big sign in my house, and I'm gonna count down the 10 wins. Once I hit 10, I say, all right, playoffs time.
All right, let's see. So we don't have the schedule yet, but we do have the teams that we're going to play. Okay, so we know we're going to play. Just you tell me win or loss. Doesn't have to worry about the weeks. Doesn't have to worry about the order. Wins or loss. Win or loss. Cardinals.
I say win.
Win. Rams.
Maybe a loss.
Loss. San Francisco 49ers.
A loss. Oh, these are all. Oh, they don't know where they're at, so we don't know if they're home or away.
Don't worry about it.
It's a big deal, Julian. Ugh.
They're gonna play both of them. We play them at home and away. Don't worry about it.
But if you go to if you're going to Green Bay versus being in Seattle, it's a big difference.
Oh no, we know that they're coming here. Green Bay Packers are coming to Lumen Field.
Okay, we'll do 2-2 then. Let's start. I think we'll start at 2-2.
All right. So you mean we're beating the Green Bay Packers?
Beat the Pack.
All right,
which is a really bold,
now we're playing
hot take.
JJ McCarthy and the Minnesota Vikings. Are we winning that game?
Yes, and then I lost to Buffalo.
But we're losing to Buffalo. All right, now we're 3-3. It's difficult. This is difficult. All right. What about the Dolphins?
Ooh. The Dolphins, I forget, did they combust at the end of the season?
I mean, at this point, you can assume that Tua is either healthy or dead.
You know what? You wanted some sunshine in here. And I know they had a lot of sunshine in Miami. I'm going to say we beat the Dolphins.
All right, now we're 4-3. Great. The Giants, that's a win.
That's an obvious win.
Broncos, that's a win.
That's a win.
Arizona again.
Those are our home games. Oh, now
we don't know the schedule. So now we're in the aways. Arizona Cardinals away. We usually lose that game. What do you think?
Yeah, it's probably a loss.
All right.
Ugh, that's three losses. Maybe.
LA Rams at SoFi. We beat them.
We get payback, baby.
All right. San Francisco at Levi's.
You know what that is.
Okay. Chicago Bears at Soldier.
Ooh, it's a cold one. And then Detroit right after.
But it's
cold
like,
one.
Is it an early Chicago Bears? Like, hey, we just got a new quarterback? Or is this a healthy, sexy, late season rookie quarterback leading his team, you know?
I'm going to say we beat the Bears. They don't know what they're doing still. And then probably lose to the Lions.
Lose the Lions. All right. So at this point, we're 6-6. New England Patriots, win or loss at Gillette.
Why are we playing all the cold teams? We beat them. They're
New York Jets at MetLife.
We can't
Aaron
lose the New York Jets. We win.
Atlanta Falcons. Jets. Are we beating Penix / Kirk Cousins?
We have to win. Yeah, they're done.
All right, that's a 9-win football team. That is a 9-win football team. Bottom. Oof. We got to steal one. From the Niners or the Bills or the Dolphins. I will say, man, we're playing a lot of rookie quarterbacks our first year. That's a lot of rookie quarterbacks.
I'm trying to think if that's a good, in terms of our home and away, if that's a good schedule.
I think Mother's Day is coming up. Tickets available in May. I think I'm buying Emily some Denver Bronco Seahawks tickets. I think I'm doing it. She's not going to listen this late in the pod. I think I'm doing it.
Here's the question. Do you think she will wear a Hawk shirt or a Broncos shirt? Because now that Russell's not there.
Knowing that she doesn't own any Broncos stuff, I think she'll wear some Hawks gear.
Okay. Well, but she was such a big fan of the Bronco pod. Is she going to continue listening without Russell there? Or?
Oh, no. She already has. Yeah. No, she's now invested in the fan base. She's invested in the fan base. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, she's cashed in. I don't think she's gonna be able to escape. The thing is that she started to listen to podcasts from the Steelers, and she was like, they're too serious. I don't like their vibes. She wasn't into that. So,
It sounds like you're going to a Broncos game, and we're doing draft in LA.
We're just making plans.
Fun fall.
All right, we're going to wrap. This isn't going to be a long pod. I will say, this is something I know that you would want to hear. You got to come back and visit, because Cal is going through music trends.
Oh, my gosh.
And like, 2 weeks ago, Sweet Dreams. Like, Sweet Dreams. It's like, it was his thing. And now he's really into boy bands.
Like, what boy bands?
Yeah, he's really into boy bands, so...
But is it like a new boy band, or talking about like
like the classics. Okay. So basically, there's a Trolls movie that has Justin Timberlake's voice on it, and so now he's just like kind of into all Justin Timberlake music, and he is just all about every single song. It's I've been exposing him to the entire catalog. What do you think is his favorite of all the boy band songs?
Not including Christmas album.
Not including, I don't know how that would be a thing, but yes. Well, not including
Christmas album. Well, because NSYNC's got a big Christmas song. I forget what it's called. Merry, Merry Christmas. I forget. The one that goes Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. And the minute he finds out it is a boy band song, that might be it, but no.
I'm going to say, if it's going to be NSYNC, I guess Bye Bye Bye, because I can see him just driving you crazy doing the Bye 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 dance.
Yeah, that's it. You got it. You are just so clever. Just so...
I'm intuitive.
Very intuitive with the children. Bye. He is obsessed. He wants to hear it again and again and again and again and again. And the thing is that now I'm driving a minivan looking like a maniac. Because I'm doing the, like, bye-bye-bye pinchy hands across the windshield. Because, like, I can't not do the moves. I know the moves.
100%.
They're my moves.
You went from death metal with him last year to bye-bye-bye this year.
He still asks for Raining Blood every once in a while. You know, like, we'll still do, like, we slay. He's like, yeah, can we listen to bye-bye-bye? Be like, no. He's like, okay, can we listen to Raining Blood? Be like, that's a pivot, and I'll take it. Oh, man. Bottom, this was good. All right. I hope you have a hot take buried, because we're going to wrap this up.
I do. My hot take's going to include a question for you, though, at the same time. So be prepared.
Oh, that's not usually how this works. But all right. I'm going to go here. We got our song clicked. All right. Bye-bye's over. We're doing this. All right. Bottom, how are we finishing this up?
So, NBA playoffs is in full force. We obviously know that the Celtics and the Nuggets are probably the two favorites in each conference. However, if you had one team from West and East that you think will be the sleeper team to get out of their division and make it the championship, who are you selecting, Julian?
That's fun. I like a real sleeper team. That's tough, because yeah, like I did like the Clippers, but I mean, man, most fun? Orlando Magic just winning the whole thing. They've been stocking up draft picks forever. Paolo? Give me Paolo. Magic. Orlando Magic. Magic. Okay. That would be my vibes pick. I'd take the Orlando Magic.
Okay, on the west side, who are you picking?
It's hard for me to remember which teams are where. Let me look at this.
We got OKC, Denver. Well, Denver doesn't count. OKC, Minnesota, Clips. Dallas.
Which side are the Mavericks on?
The Mavs are on the West.
Is that the same as...
As the Clips. They're playing the Clips.
Is that the same as the Magic?
No, Magic on the East.
All right,
so Magic
Mavericks or Timberwolves. I love the Timberwolves because of Ant.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now, is that it? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I would say my pick was going to be the Timberwolves, and I was gonna say the Knicks finally do it. Let's just say they finally get through.
Oh, bold pick.
Finally get through.
All right. Well, that's good. I've skipped this song like four times. All right. Well, guess what, everyone? This has been the Finicky Somewhat Football. football show. Bottom, good to hear from you. This was unique. Good finicky and good night. The grandma thing, man. That's...
I knew I should have said something, but you said you didn't want to do a preview, so didn't know.
Really hard to recover from.